You're listening to High Plains Morning on member-supported High Plains Public Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you're having a great morning. This is Jenny Inzerillo. I am live in the studio, and I've been getting a lot of emails. A lot of things are happening. We've been kind of on lockdown for a while, and events, as things get safer, start percolating, and you start seeing them, and that just makes me want to share all this information with you, the HPPR listeners. So today, I've got Steve Quakenbush on the phone. He is with the Finney County Historical Society, which you might know through the Finney County Historical Museum in Garden City, Kansas. They do such a great job of preserving the history of this region, and it's right by where this station started. So I wanted to have Steve come on, give us a little chat, tell us what's going on, and let everyone know Finney County is up and running, and there's some very cool events on the horizon. So Steve, thank you so much for all that you do, and thanks for joining me on High Plains Morning.
Glad to be here, Jenny. Good morning.
All right. Well, first and foremost, for anybody listening, we have quite a large listener region, of course, and I want you to just share with everyone across the listener region, whether or not they're familiar with Finney County or not. Tell us about what the Historical Society and the Historical Museum of Finney County, tell us what y'all do.
Well, you know, if we have an official mission statement, preservation of the past to enlighten the future, and basically that's self-explanatory, but we kind of focus on four key areas, and one of those obviously is exhibits here at the Finney County Museum, but we also year-round provide research services in our research library, the Leola Howard Blanchard Research Library. We have a year-round education program that serves children and adults. Normally, it includes a lot of classroom visits. Those have kind of been converted to Facebook and Zoom and other distance contact because of COVID over the last several months. And then, obviously, we preserve artifacts and records and photographs of Finney County and Southwest Kansas history. And at last count, our cataloged items were topping 21,000. So,
oh, wow.
So we have a lot. We have a lot going on, and it's a lot of fun, and we see a lot of people.
What are some of your favorite artifacts you guys have stored around?
You know, it's hard to pick out of 21,000. If I was picking a favorite, and we don't have these on exhibit right now, and I'm not really like a firearms collector at all, but we have an 1864 U.S. Army issue Union Army carbine rifle, and I just think that's the coolest thing. I mean, just to think that that was used in the Civil War by a soldier fighting to preserve the Union, and we have that here. But my gosh, it's really hard to pick a favorite. We have some that are kind of unusual, and I can tell you my least favorite.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, this is really popular because we had this for a beef exhibit several years ago.
Oh,
everybody
no.
knows about hairballs, that cats have hairballs. Well, cows have hairballs, too. And in a beef exhibit, we ended up with a hairball that came from one of the beef packing plants in this area, and we still have it. It's not as big and heavy and juicy as it once was, but it's somewhere between the size of a bowling ball and a basketball, and we just call it the big hairball. And it's sitting in a brass spittoon on our reception counter. And it's my least favorite, but people love to see it. We've had people drive hundreds of miles, they've told us, just to come in and see the giant hairball. So
well,
that's my least favorite.
That's about all the time we have today. Steve, thanks so much. Wow, wow. That exceeded expectations for how gross that could be. Thank you for that. Beef hairballs.
Glad to share.
Okay. Now, you tell us a little bit about how the museum's been doing throughout the pandemic. I've seen that you guys had constantly, you know, hey, we've got mask mandate, hey, we've got social distancing, and you guys kept mm-hmm. the museum going throughout everything to give people a little place to go and, you know, get a little bit of culture while other things were closed down. How are things going right now a year in?
You know, things are proceeding pretty well. Our traffic was down during 2020 pretty considerably. And we did have a six-week period where we were considered a non-essential facility, so we were closed. But we opened again last May, resumed exhibits in June. We're still doing social distancing. Masks are presently required in Garden City, so we have a mask requirement in place. And we have free masks available if somebody's coming in to see exhibits and they didn't happen to bring one. We have those as well. We've got some plastic shielding in place, things like that. There's hand sanitizer all over the place. Nothing too exciting, except most people, to show social distancing, you see blue or yellow tape on the floor, or you see stand here marks. We didn't do that. We got out a couple of antique wooden yardsticks and placed them end to end to show people, okay, that's 6 feet, that's how far you should stay away from somebody else. We just thought that was a bit more appropriate that way. But generally, we're seeing people in every day. I can just tell you, our total traffic in 2020 was 12 or 13,000 people. In a normal year, it's 28 or 29,000. Mm. So, we did see a dip, and we're thinking that it's probably not going to return to 28,000 this year, but we think it's on the way back up. So we're pleased with that, and these are historic times, so we'll just have to work our way through them and see how things come out, I guess.
Well, I love that you have kept the focus on education, and you've got this history lecture series, which is always something I like to share with people. These are back. These are going strong, and these are coming up here soon. Can you tell us a little bit about the different history lecture series that you have going on?
Sure. The overarching theme is just our history lecture series. We have evenings at the museum, which are 7 p.m. once a month, and we have history at high noon. Those are at noon once a month. We do the noon programs on the second Wednesday, and that's January, February, March, April, and then also September, October, November. The evening programs are the same months, only we do the third Tuesday, and those are 7 p.m. Is that a little confusing? Sometimes we think so, too, but it seems to work out that way. Admission to those is free, and we have some sponsorship from the Southern Council of the AT&T Pioneers that helps us cover expenses. We do have mask requirements in place. We can seat about 70 people normally, but we're limiting those now to about 40. We've spaced the chairs out a bit. And we used to invite people to bring their meals, and then we would provide dessert and coffee and tea, but the whole thing with food right now still seems like maybe that's a bit of a risk. So we're providing the coffee and tea, but asking people to eat before you come or after you leave. And we try to have different programs every month, and the ones that are coming up right away, the 10th, which would be tomorrow, we have Influenza 1918, and then we'll repeat that again on the 16th of March at 7. Normally, we do live presentations, but the Influenza 1918 is actually a 60-minute PBS documentary that we're going to show, and I'm sure then we'll have some discussion and questions and answers afterward. And we chose that because, that was the earlier pandemic about a century ago that affected the entire nation. And, of course, it affected Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Kansas as well. So we'll be showing the documentary. It has some archival photographs, some early film footage on how people handled the pandemic just a little over 100 years ago. So we're looking forward to that, and we're kind of midway through the series for I guess what you'd call spring, January through April, and we've had a couple already, and we have some more coming up.
Well, in addition to having the history lectures, you also have a lot of exhibits at the museum. What do you guys got going on right now?
Well, right now, I'd like to focus on our temporary exhibits or our changing exhibits, and those are in our front door gallery. And right now, we have Ad Astra Per Aspera, and your Kansas listeners will recognize that as the Latin motto for the state of Kansas. And that's there because in January, we observed the 160th birthday of Kansas. So that exhibit is still in place and will remain there roughly until the end of March. And it focuses not just on the birth of Kansas, but on something that we feel like is often overlooked, and that's how the admission of Kansas to the Union in 1861 and leading up to that in the late 1850s and into 1860, that was a major national political issue, and it was a controversial issue, and it split North and South. And really, the admission of Kansas to the Union was one of the fuses that ignited the Civil War. It was actually Abraham Lincoln's advocacy of Kansas being admitted as a free state that tended to enrage House and Senate members from slaveholding southern states. And when they resigned and went home to form the Confederacy, that allowed sufficient favorable votes in Congress for Kansas to be admitted. So our exhibit explains that, and that's been up since January, and it's going to be there for a while yet. But we have some other interesting exhibits planned in the front door gallery because we try to have 4 to 6 exhibits there every year. And up next, roughly starting around April 1st, will be an exhibit about philanthropy, and it's going to focus on the Western Kansas Community Foundation, which serves a wide swath of Southwest Kansas, but is based in Garden City. They've been providing support for nonprofit organizations for a quarter century now, so we're going to be focusing on that. And then the exhibit after that should be a lot of fun. I mentioned we have those 21,000 artifacts. Well, some of those artifacts include a nice collection of clothing. We actually have clothing as recent as the 1980s and going back as far as the 1860s, and that includes some 19th century and early 20th century corsets and girdles and bloomers and pantaloons. And, you know, there was a time when things like that were called unmentionables. So we're going to have an unmentionables exhibit. We've got plenty of mannequins. And so we think, you know, as a working title, we're also calling it the underwear exhibit. And we think, okay, this isn't so serious, but it should be a lot of fun. And why not? We have all those items in storage, and we think we should maybe display those. As we get into the latter part of summer, early fall, that space will also have an exhibit that will be much more serious. And the working title is 9/11 Recollections. And we'll have some photographs, some newspaper pages, and we're hoping some short, succinct recollections of people from the World Trade Center and Pentagon attacks that were, believe it or not, 20 years ago in September. So those are some of the things coming up. Then latter part of the year, we're thinking a children's clothing exhibit because, again, we have quite a bit of early day children's garments. And then we always do a Christmas exhibit, to round out the year. And this year it's going to be Santa's Workshop. And the Santa's Workshop we have is – it's actually something we put up every other Christmas season. We were donated a few years ago about a 7-foot-long, 3-foot-high mechanical wooden diorama showing Santa and his elves, and they're all powered by tiny little electric motors, and they're working in the workshop making Christmas toys, and it still works. We had it restored several years ago and cleaned up by a local carpenter and toy collector. His name's Tom Herman, and we have it set up and people can come in and hit the switch and watch it run, and it's a lot of fun. And people love it so much that we thought, okay, we'll wear it out if we put it up every Christmas, but we're putting it up every other. And so this coming year it's going to be back up again, and we're really looking forward to that. That one should be a lot of fun as well.
It's so crazy to hear about holidays when here we are in March, but you know, it is nice to know that that's something to be looking forward to, mm-hmm. As we move into this year that hopefully just gets more and more safe, so that holidays seem a little more like they did a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. We hope so.
And now you have other events and activities that are kind of, you know, part of a community outreach, things that you do, you know, just, wow, there's so many different things. You know, a lot of them are holiday related. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those other events and activities people can be marking their calendars for?
Yeah, and we've had to put an asterisk on everything last year and this year because we've had to cancel some things and postpone some things. Like this weekend would have been having the 9th annual Southwest Kansas Antiques Appraisal Fair, but due to some COVID-related scheduling, we weren't able to do that. And then our Finney County Pioneer Awards Banquet normally takes place in April. We've bumped that to the 6th of November this year, but we have a committee on our board that selects two individuals or families who have made significant contributions to the history of Finney County, and we'll be giving those awards. And again, that's November. We had to bump our Evening in the Past program this year and our Summer Historic Homes Tour, but the big enchilada on the combination plate for us is the Flea Market Festival of Antiques, Collectibles, Art, and Crafts. Imagine a big craft fair, art fair, antique fair with about 50 vendors all in booths spread out over the grass in the shade, mostly in the shade, in Lee Richardson Zoo here in Garden City, right behind the museum. Well, that's what the Flea Market Festival is. And there also will be some food vendors. And then we have a big sale on the museum patio simultaneous to that with donated items, like kind of like a huge garage sale mixed in with a craft antique and art fair. And in a normal year, we have about 50 vendors. We had a crowd count, I think, in the range of 4,500 to 4,700 people the last few years. With the exception of last year, we scaled it back for COVID. But we're going to space the booths out for social distancing this year, and we think we'll be working our way back to something a little larger again. It's July, by the way, so we run from 8 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. That might seem like a short time period, but, you know, it's western Kansas. It can be 100 degrees, which is hard to believe since we were 20 below a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that'll be in July. We do a rib sale leading up to Labor Day. We'll be taking orders on that and delivering on September 2nd. We have our fall history picnic, which we have at the fairgrounds, and that'll be, I believe, the 3rd of October this year. It's a Sunday afternoon. Don't know who the presenter will be yet, but we always have a fun and interesting program that focuses on history. We provide fried chicken. People bring covered dishes. Anybody can come. And it's kind of like an old-time picnic with a history program. And then something that's really become popular, we have the historic walking tours of Valley View Cemetery. And this year that'll be mid-October, three nights, 14th, 15th, and 16th of October this year. We do walking tours of the cemetery, and those are at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Now, I'll tell you, we do not do ghosts. It's not a Halloween event. It's not spooks or goblins or anything like that, but we'll visit 10 or 12 sites in the cemetery, graves and memorial monuments. And when we do that at some of those grave sites, people on the tour will be meeting some characters from Finney County's past, we might say. And We have volunteer reenactors who do that. We'll have 8 to 9, maybe 10 different reenactors, so should be a lot of fun. And, you know, the early tour is in the daylight. The later tour each evening is in the dark. We have a lot of high-powered flashlights, and we've been doing that for several years, and we hardly even advertise that thing. We announce it, and the tickets sell out. And it's just been a lot of fun, and it's a neat, different way to discover history. And usually, and we'll do this again this year, we wrap up the year with our holiday open house. That'll be mid-December, and that's a lot of fun. We strong-arm some of our board members to form a choir of carolers, and they do some live caroling inside the museum. We normally will have two or three antique cars outside, and we're giving antique car rides. We debut our Christmas exhibit at that point. We have refreshments, and, you know, we were disappointed last year because we just, with COVID, weren't able to do that. But we're hoping we're on the other side of the vaccination programming at that point, so we should be able to do that again this year. So that'll be a lot of fun, and, you know, we'll have the Santa's Workshop exhibit up again this year, so we're looking forward to all of these things. We're kind of, with COVID, sort of stacked heavily toward events at the end of the year this year, but we hope we're not getting lax and complacent here in the first part of the year. but anyway, we'll be proceeding with those. And all of those events and activities do two things. Obviously, we're a nonprofit. We get some support from Finney County, some significant support, but we also need to raise funds. So almost every one of those events is a fundraiser, but it's also a way to celebrate or observe or learn about history, and that's what we're all about. So we're glad to be moving more back into that realm, you know, as the year unfolds.
Well, I think it's inspirational for people who have been, you know, stuck behind their doors to hear that all these things are on the horizon. I'll do a post that has all these details. That was a lot to cover. I just wanted to make sure Steve gave everybody kind of a snapshot, people in Southwest Kansas. These things are coming. These things are going to happen. If they're not, they'll let you know. But we'll have a little rundown of everything we talked about here, because that was a lot of events. What are your hours? How can people come visit Finney County Historic Museum?
Well, if you're coming for research or to ask us questions or maybe donate an artifact, our normal office hours are 9 to 5 weekdays, but exhibits are on a different schedule. Most of the year, exhibits are 7 days a week, with the exception of a few holidays, and the hours are 1 to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, and we're in that mode right now. Now, in the summer, we do extend those hours. Starting right after Memorial Day, we switch to summer exhibit hours, and that would be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and then 1 to 5 on Sundays. So we get a little extra time in there. And then we switch back to fall hours mid to late August, about the time public schools resume in Finney County. But if you're coming to see exhibits right now, it's 1 to 5, 7 days a week. And if you're coming for anything else, you're welcome to use our north entrance rather than our main entrance. And so office hours are 9 to 5, and that would be for educational programming, artifacts, research assistance. And if you're coming for research, it's helpful to call ahead and give us a little advance notice so we can start pulling files, pulling photographs, things like that. Lori Oschel is our research librarian, and she does a phenomenal job, but if she knows you're wanting to find out about your family and when they moved here in the 1930s and where their house was and what their business was, if she knows ahead, that helps a little bit as well. People can always give us a call at 272-3664. Just put a 620 in front of that if you're from outside the Garden City area. And that's That's a long answer to what are our hours, but I thought I should explain all of that.
Well, Finney County Historical Museum is at 403 South 4th Street. It's at the edge of the Lee Richardson Zoo, mm-hmm. located next door to the pedestrian entrance of the zoo. And again, that number, if you needed to reach Steve or get in touch with the museum, 620-272-3664. And I'll put contact information for you, Steve, up there. You sometimes will, you know, have volunteers that you're looking for. People can mm-hmm. get involved with the museum.
Yes, and we have volunteer opportunities that are can be repeating and ongoing. In fact, we have a volunteer right now who is coming in pretty routinely and regularly and scanning photos and entering information in our database of Finney County military veterans. And then we have some temporary volunteer opportunities from time to time as well. I'll be honest, sometimes we have things that are related to history. Sometimes we're maybe looking for somebody to help do a little gardening work or window washing or things like that as well. That gardening work can involve the William Fulton House, which is an 1884 folk Victorian home built by one of Garden City's founders. And we maintain the gardens around the Fulton House, and it's open for tours in the summer. And sometimes we're looking for folks who don't mind doing a little weeding, planting, weed eating, you know, that sort of thing at the Fulton House gardens as well. And you never know, we might even be looking for some painting, outdoor painting volunteers this year. We'll just have to see how that goes. But sometimes it's history, sometimes it's maintenance, to be honest, but we can always use some help.
All right, so if you would like to volunteer or get involved at the Finney County Historical Society, help out at the museum, again, that number is 620-272-3664. Steve, I'm going to do a big write-up. We'll put it up on hppr.org with all this information for anybody that wants to find out more about it. But I just want to say thank you so much to you and your staff for keeping things going, keeping this community outreach. Places like museums and libraries have really kept the heart of this entire region going while we've weathered this storm of the influenza. And here you are bringing forward some historical programming, educational programming to keep us all connected. So I thank you for that. That's so exciting.
Well, we're just glad to do it. We're glad people are filtering their way back in and that we're seeing more and more because we think preserving the past is pretty important.
Absolutely. All right, Steve. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We're so glad to hear about it, and it was so nice to check up with you and stay in touch.
We will do that. Thank you.